I'm Rick Ruan, City Hall reporter at The Dispatch, and today we're going to be talking about future transportation possibilities in Central Ohio. Columbus is what I would call a car-centric city, but transit advocates want to see the city invest in other priorities around what they call high-capacity mass transit. What does that really mean? Largely two big things: more bus rapid transit lines similar to what COTA already does on the C-MAX line that runs along Cleveland Avenue, and passenger rail, a transportation hurdle that has long been discussed in Columbus but never cleared. I have with me Josh Lapp, chair of the Transit Columbus organization, which recently put out a policy agenda for the city. Thanks for joining me, Josh.
Thank you, Rick.
The new policy agenda that Transit Columbus recently unveiled lists high capacity mass transit first among its big ideas. Why is that important to your organization?
I think the biggest reason it's important is because Columbus is growing, and we're growing pretty rapidly. We're leading Ohio in the Midwest in population growth. But in order to really accommodate that and ensure that we have an equitable and environmentally friendly future, we need to invest in transit infrastructure so that we can accommodate more of that growth. And the MORPC Insight 2050 corridor study really gives a clear picture of what that would look like. And so really the next step is to implement BRT, bus rapid transit, and light rail in some of these large-scale corridors. And for us, you know, the first step is getting the BRT done, and then that can lead us to bigger things in the future.
So why are those options necessary to deal with the growth as opposed to just sort of sticking with what COTA already has with a traditional sort of local and express route bus system?
Absolutely. Well, the local and express routes are always going to be the backbone of a system. That's true in cities with subways. That's true all across the country and world. And that's really important. But the key here is creating that dedicated right-of-way. So having buses and trains running just on their own dedicated lanes or lines would really take those buses out of traffic and allow for much more fast, frequent, and reliable movement around the city. And so creating those large backbone lines that can really connect the city is highly important. Otherwise, the buses are stuck in traffic just like the cars. And as we add more people, that means more cars on the road without other options. And so what we really need to do is work to accommodate that growth and accommodate denser development in some of our corridors so that we're not just sprawling, you know, out into the surrounding counties, but we can build in a much more kind of sustainable way into the future.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about density a little bit because that's certainly part of Insight 2050. Why is it seems like sprawl is kind of like a bad word these days, four-letter word. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
I think really it's because it contributes to diminished environmental issues. It can impact the environment negatively, but it also can impact our lives and our commute and people's access to jobs negatively. So, you know, if we're sprawling in every direction and we are not allowing for denser development, first of all, we're taking options away from people that want it. So in order to have walkable, you know, convenient neighborhoods, we need to have more density. And that's not to say everything has to be, you know, dense, high-rise development. That's not what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. We're just talking about a more thoughtful way of growing, which is what Insight 2050 and the Insight 2050 Corridor Concept Study are getting at.
Yeah. So we talked about BRT a little bit. What is different about what you're proposing with BRT and what COTA really already has with C-MAX?
Sure. The C-MAX is a great first step, but it doesn't have the dedicated right-of-way and the dedicated infrastructure that really make it a true BRT line. So BRT is intended to, in its best form, act just like light rail or other rail systems. So really, BRT should be a train on wheels. It should have its own right-of-way. It should have stations. It should have, you know, payment off the bus, so you pay as you go into the station. It has complete accessibility for ADA. So the C-MAX is kind of what I would call a BRT light. It has some of those things, but not most of them. And so we're really talking about something with a lot more infrastructure around it, and that would allow for much faster movement of people and could move a larger number of people at one time.
Yeah, as I've been reporting on this story this week, I spoke with somebody at the Eno Center for Transportation in Washington, D.C., and they were kind of getting back with sort of the treatments you were talking about to that idea of dense urban development, that when you build out those sort of permanent structures that go along with making a BRT line similar to a rail line, it sort of makes developers feel a little more secure and that that's going to be there for a long time and encourages them to develop around it. Whereas if you have, you know, sort of more traditional bus routes and not the dedicated right of way, more traditional bus stops, I should say, those seem like they could change within a year or two. And suddenly that thing that attracted you to build something nearby isn't there anymore. So it seems like those things sort of fit together.
Yeah, absolutely. And that also gets to the people that are going to live in those buildings. You know, in order to make a decision to take transit, it needs to be fast, frequent, and reliable. And without having dedicated right-of-way in major corridors, it's just not going to be, because it's going to be stuck in traffic just like all the other cars are.
Yeah. Fast, frequent, and reliable. I mean, that those are kind of guiding principles around some of the stuff that COTA has done in the last few years, redesigning its system. I mean, what's your take on how those changes have been received? Are they actually making the system faster, the higher frequency buses, or are those frequent enough? What do you think about what COTA's done to this point?
Well, I think they've done a really fantastic job in transforming their system over the last 10 years or so. You know, coming into 2006, they weren't in the best financial situation. They had some issues, and they really weren't into the 20th century yet. And you have seen major strides since that time. And we've really seen COTA become one of the most successful bus systems in the country. And that's really great. Part of that was the transit system redesign. And it definitely does make things more fast, frequent, and reliable. And really, that's why people decide to use transit, is because it's a good mode to use. Does that mean that there aren't things that can be improved? Of course there are. You know, I think COTA would want to improve those, have more frequency, but that takes additional money. And they're supporting the system with the money that they have currently. And going back to COTA being one of the best in the country, I mean, it's one of the few bus systems that's actually growing right now in terms of ridership. So I think there was 3% growth in ridership last year, which is incredible, because most large systems around the country actually have gone down in ridership in the past few years. So I think that's impressive. And what we're looking to do is really just building on the work that they have already done. They really got their house in order and are providing much better service today than they were even, you know, 4 years ago.
Yeah. So we've talked a lot about BRT. We've talked about the bus network. We haven't talked as much about rail, which is frankly just always a hot topic around here. There are so many people who really are interested in seeing Columbus adopt some sort of passenger rail system. Obviously, that's been something talked about for years. Proposals have been out there in the past. Is it realistic to think that Columbus can, in a city where you would almost be starting from scratch to build a passenger rail system, can accomplish that in 2019?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's nothing so different from our peer cities that have done the same thing, that have built light rail systems. But I think I want to make the point that we are completely supportive of light rail, and we see that in our future. But we're also really, we care most about creating fast, frequent, and reliable service. So there are some corridors that are going to be better suited for light rail. And that, I think, is a more long-term conversation, just because the infrastructure that it takes to put that in place is going to take longer to build. So that's why we're suggesting some of the BRT can be built on a smaller budget and in a shorter time frame. And while we're building that BRT, we should be planning for larger light rail. Or there's talk of other types of, you know, future types of systems, whether it be autonomous buses or, you know, autonomous trains, which also exist. We are completely supportive of that. I mean, the key for us is that fast, frequent, and reliable. So just in terms of looking at the Insight 2050 corridor study, you can see, I think, the north, kind of the northwest corridor seems like it's probably well suited for light rail. But again, that's why we're kind of thinking, well, that's more of a long-term plan. So let's prioritize some of the short-term changes so that we can show success in order to build community support for those larger scale things.
Yeah. So you guys, as part of your policy agenda, identified two out of the five corridors that Insight 2050 looked at as what you think is, you know, the ones that should be priority right now to mm-hmm. try to get something on. Can you tell me a little bit more about which corridors you guys picked out and sort of how you arrived there and why you think that those are important starting steps?
Absolutely. So there were five corridors total. One was the Cleveland Avenue or Northeast Corridor, which has already seen an investment with CMAX. We believe that could be upgraded and maybe in the short term. But because that has already happened, we are looking more to push things that I think would spread that kind of system around the city more quickly. So West Broad Street and East Main are the two corridors that we suggested would be two of the easiest and first to focus on. Those are two of the busiest bus lines in the city and two streets that could probably easily see dedicated lanes added in the near term, which would really help speed things up. The Northwest Corridor, like I said, that's a much more, I think, a lot more effort and planning would need to go into making that a reality just based on the current infrastructure that's there. And then the corridor to the south, I think, is, again, another long-term development opportunity potential. But those West Broad and East Main are the ones that today you could, if we, you know, blocked off a lane today and made that a permanent bus lane, that would dramatically speed up movement of people, and really just, I think, the ridership would grow just like CMAX ridership would grow. So that's our kind of thought process behind that.
Yeah. So one of the biggest questions around expanding transit is cost. I talked to COTA this week, yeah. And they say, you know, we're kind of maxed out on service hours at this point, given the constraints of our budget. For those who don't know, COTA is primarily funded through the sales tax. They have two sales tax levies that are out there, one that's permanent and another that is a renewal levy that they have to go back and get approval from voters on a regular basis. Last year, that generated about $130 million for COTA, which really makes up kind of the lion's share of their operating budget. What are you guys proposing to pay for the kinds of improvements that you'd like to see made in the city?
Absolutely. We see the most straightforward way to pay for these as a transit ballot measure in 2020, and that would be another COTA ballot measure, a sales tax to fund these improvements. We are not wedded to that. There maybe are other options, but that is definitely the most straightforward option. And we really believe success would come in 2020. There's an urgency around that. So this is a kind of a short time. We're talking about something next year. But really, we just saw, you know, Columbus just surpassed San Francisco in terms of population, and our region is growing very quickly. So we need to get ahead of these things. And so now is not the time to wait. And so we see success coming with that. And then we could quickly implement some of these projects that we've just discussed, actually. And we hear so often how much grassroots support there is for this. And so I think that next year would be an optimal opportunity.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my questions to you, is that mm-hmm. there does seem to be, you know, sort of this sense of urgency about it. Why now? I mean, why is Columbus at this moment in time kind of ripe for trying to make these sorts of major improvements to its transit network?
Well, I think it's interesting. We've heard a lot of discussion around transportation over the last several years, and we've also begun to hear a lot of conversation around affordable housing, and those two things are linked very closely. So we really see that we're at kind of an inflection point. So if Columbus just grows too much, it's going to be very difficult to go back and add these things in and to grow in a sustainable way. So we need to get ahead of it. And we've done a lot of planning. So Columbus is, I think, planned out when it comes to transit infrastructure. We have a next-gen plan from COTA that identifies many of the same corridors that were in the Insight 2050 corridor concept study. And, you know, there were additional plans around that as well. So we see all the planning has been done. We know what we want to do. We know what we want to be in the future. And so what we really need to do now is make it a reality. And so that's why I think the urgency is around it.
Right. So COTA has the authority to put something like this on the ballot. If COTA's not willing to do it, are there other options out there that you guys might have to kind of pursue this individually? And is that something that you're willing to actually look at if it's not something COTA is willing to put on the ballot itself?
Sure. Really, our goal is to get COTA to put it on the ballot. We, of course, if that can't happen and if that won't happen, we'll look at opportunities to fund transit and see if there are other community partners or, you know, if there are other options for taking this to the voters. But ultimately, I think the clearest path is COTA making that decision. But really, it's not a decision that COTA will be making. It's a decision that we as a community will be making, and COTA will just be executing that decision. I don't think any group has the ability to put a COTA levy on the ballot in the sense of a sales tax measure that they typically do. So I don't think that's possible for us. But, you know, there are other options we would explore if we can't make this to fruition.
Right. I've alluded to this a couple of times that these are ideas that have been talked about for years in Columbus. What do you think has been standing in the way of Columbus kind of taking this next step into these, you know, other forms of mass transit? And what do you think it's going to take now to actually make it happen?
Well, I think COTA has been in a time of transition for, you know, the last 5 to 10 years. Like I said, they were really kind of rebuilding their system and doing the TSR, getting all the pieces in place to, I think we couldn't go to the voters of our region and say, pay for more transit without saying that we have the best system possible with the money we already have. And we're there right now. COTA is the best that it can be in many senses. I mean, there's always room for improvement, but they've really built a very solid system. And so I kind of think that's why it has taken all the time to get here. And we really needed to build community support. And then we have, of course, had a lot of leadership transition over the past 5 years with COTA and with the city of Columbus and with lots of different city council, all those things. So I think all the pieces are in place now, and that we also needed to see the growth that's been happening. I feel that it's been, you know, again, over the last 4 years or so where we've really decided or noticed that Columbus isn't just a small town anymore. It's really becoming a big city, and we're growing rapidly, and we're really the standout city in the Midwest. And so that has given us, I think, the confidence also to pursue something like this.
Well, Josh, that's all I have for you. Thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's been really great to talk with you.
Absolutely. If you'd like to learn more about Transit Columbus's new policy agenda and the possibility of more BRT and passenger rail in Columbus, read my story at dispatch.com.